Christmas, and how many of you got presents? Yeah, I got a Windows update, Windows 10 update. And, you know, a lot of the time I ask my wife, I say, honey, where's my socks? But this morning I asked Cortina where my socks were. You know, on Windows, there's this computer person that you can talk to, you can ask questions to. And I asked Cortina, I said, where are my socks? And she took me to a web page and showed me where socks were normally in homes. And it was quite helpful. So I did find it, actually. So it was helpful because my socks are where it was located. So good morning. I hope you had a joyful Christmas. We ended Advent on Christmas Eve, the season of Advent, the four Sundays before. Christmas season starts on the 25th, and it goes to the 6th of January in liturgical churches. And what's happening around the world is that there are a lot of churches that don't normally have this seasonal liturgical calendar. Now they are choosing to have liturgical calendars because they like the discipline and they like the ability to go from year to year and to really experience the Christian themes with other Christians from many traditions. So Christmas is not over. We still have time to think about this wonderful miracle, the coming of Christ. So don't be too discouraged when the decorations disappear, when the tree disappears, because we can think about Christmas up until the 6th. Luke chapter 1 is a preparation for telling the story of what happens in Luke chapter 2. Today I'm going to be looking mainly at chapter 1 of Luke, but chapter 2, I want to remind you, tells us of the incarnation miracle, that God has come in human flesh. And you know the story, Mary, who traveled to Bethlehem, the town of David, gave birth to a son, firstborn, wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. And that son is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Anointed One, the third person of the Trinity. Christ comes into the world as a mere babe, yet is God. That singular event holds the key to our deepest mysteries, who we are, where we have come from, where we are going. Sadly, for some Christians today, the power of the Christmas story is drowned out by the noise of the worldly celebration around. Some Christian people also struggle with miracles in the modern world. They simply can't get their minds wrapped around the idea that a miracle today is plausible. Yes, they want to keep the Christ of wisdom. They want to keep the Christ the good moral teacher, the advocate and practitioner of good moral living, as if human goodness really accomplished a lot in the past century with two world wars and genocides. The virgin birth of our Savior is all about the miraculous. It's all about God intervening in the world. And Paul makes this very clear. Even though in chapter 2 we see this beautiful picture of this baby, this innocent, delicate baby, but Paul makes it very clear who this baby is. He says in Philippians about Christ, who being in very nature God, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Yet God the Father exalted him to the highest place, giving him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every name, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth. The incarnation shows us that God is not merely inscrutable, transcendent, far above existence, a distant creator in some faraway place that wound up the earth and went away. Some philosophers like to talk about this, and there are deists In American early history, we have deists, people who kind of believed that there was a God, but they couldn't find God. The story of Christmas totally shows a different picture. It shows a picture of a God who's intimate and close, who comes to earth to touch humanity, to touch people's lives. Intimate, imminent, close to us. God with us, Emmanuel. He is near. We can experience him. He is loving. We can feel his love. He's approachable. He wants us to turn toward him. He calls us by name. We hear his voice. Friends, this is good news. This is news that can change lives and destinies. Our God is not a Facebook profile, is not a Twitter account, or a shot of Jack Daniels in a bar. But our God has come to be with us. He is in our hearts. He is in this community. He is here. I pray to God that we here at the Chinese Church will always be touchers of people, always be intimate. We may not be huggers, but we are carers. We care for people. And some of us are huggers, and that's okay. We have to love the huggers, and we have to love the non-huggers, because we are all together in this. God has called us to be intimate and closely connected with one another. The world has attached many cultural elements to this celebration, Christmas. Some block out the miraculous story. Christmas is now considered mostly about fun and gifts in the culture, not connected at all to Christ, although in some sense it is. Disneyland and reindeer and exciting, sexy Victoria's Secrets, blockbuster movies, spacecraft, laser sabers, and Darth Vader at Disneyland celebrating Christmas, pushing profits to billions of dollars for movies. In fact, the recent Star Wars, which I saw, which I thought was pretty cool, Star Wars film, is $1 billion already. Boy, we should have gone into film or movies. Could you imagine if you had a church that made a movie like that? That would be like, you would be rich. These are spiritual things also that come into play when we talk about the times that we live in. There's a lot of spiritual themes out there. May the force be with you. Competing with the Christian message of repent of your sins, believe in me. The Grinch stole Christmas. All kinds of themes are out there. It's a time of inebriation, of Santa Claus, sleigh bells, shopping till you're dropping, wonderful carols, holy, secular, and mixed together, angels, elves, and trolls, wild marketing campaigns where we are told what to buy and how. But it is now over. The 25th is done. So, my friends, take a breather, rest. We enjoyed. Now we have time to think about Christmas. We can reflect on Christmas until the next month. Now, I want to tell you that I'm saying these things in jest, in a way, because I do love the celebration. I enjoy the fun. Santas. We had eight snowmen in our garden. We had a Christmas tree. And so I enjoy the celebration, but I try to do it moderately, not to go overboard, because I understand the reason for the season. There are many people who don't understand the reason for the season, though. And there are many Christians who want to take this whole celebration and throw it in the face of people and tell them, you're ignorant, you shouldn't be having fun, you shouldn't be partying. But let me tell you, for some people, that's the only fun they have in life. And as a Christian, I'm never going to be a killjoy for people. I'm going to embrace them and love them. And they may not know about Jesus Christ. They may not be able to hear the sound of the baby crying in the manger because of the noise and din of the celebration of Christmas. But when Christmas is over, perhaps they will hear that sound. Perhaps. So I don't criticize people for celebrating Christmas in these contemporary ways, but I try to keep a balance myself. But you know, I will tell you that as a pastor and as a chaplain, I always hope that people get something out of Christmas. I always hope that they get something spiritual, that their life is changed, that they can encounter God during these times. And with all of this stuff going on, it's hard to find God. It's hard to pray. It's hard to think about Jesus in the midst of all the craziness. But we should try to. Every time I listen to a message, a sermon, when Charles preaches, I try to ask myself, how, Lord, do you want me to be changed? What is it in my life that I need to change? How do I need to move toward you? And that's what we need to do today. Christmas, for many of us, is the same old story again and again every year. Shepherds, wise men, angels, the baby Jesus, the massacre of Herod. We go through it every year. How are we changed? God wants our hearts, our lives to be changed and transformed as we listen to these messages, as we hear about the coming of our Savior. Is there something in the story that's missing? Today I'm going to talk about a missing element. I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the ignored spirit of Christmas. We seldom hear about the Holy Spirit, do we, in the Christmas story? It's almost as the Holy Spirit is sitting on the bench in the Nationals baseball park. Nothing going on, waiting for Pentecost to come when the dove floats down. It's as if the Holy Spirit is not here. But the Scripture makes it very clear in the Scriptures that we're going to be reading that the Holy Spirit was present. He is engaged. He is active. The coming of Jesus was preceded by increased spiritual activity. And we're going to look really briefly at some of this, where the Holy Spirit was active. My first point today is this. There were 400 years of silence that were ended by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. The Scripture introduces us to these two people, Zach and Liz for short. They bore a disgrace. They could not conceive. They were old. How many of you know that when you're old, it's hard to have babies? You don't need to answer that question. God had been silent. I'm sure they had prayed. And in a certain sense for them, Israel also, God was silent. You know, when you turn to the book of Malachi, the last verse of Malachi, if you turn, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. There's a quote. It says, the prophet Elijah again came to again turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to the fathers. And that same quote is quoted in the New Testament in chapter 1 when Luke writes about John the Baptist and his birth. But if you open up the Bible to Malachi, the last verse, and you show it to people, it's blank. In most Bibles, there's a blank page. And you could actually write 400 years here. For 400 years, God was silent. There was no prophet, No book. Nothing entered the scripture during that time. No Messiah. The Jewish people developed a lot of different ideas in the Kabbalah and the Babylonian and Jerusalem Talmuds, trying to interpret the Bible and making thousands and thousands of additional rules. But you don't hear from God. It seemed as if things were just out of control with respect to God speaking to people. It was a time of oppression. The Persians, the Greeks, the Seleucids, the Romans had conquered, had taken over the land. Israel was occupied. Where was God? It's like people today. So many things are going on. It's a fearful time that we live in. I just read that in Afghanistan, the last church in Afghanistan was demolished, burned down. Today, people are suffering. Christians, Yazidis, Muslims suffer terribly at the hands of evil people. Where is God in all this? Where is God today? These are the same questions the Jews asked during the time of Zach and Liz. God, where are you? They were righteous before God, these two. They were old. She knew she couldn't conceive. She bore this disgrace. They lived in a country that wanted to hear from God but didn't. Like many people in church today. There's people in this church today that bear disgrace. You've had difficult things go on in your life. Baby out of wedlock, a lost job, a disease, a criminal act, a divorce, a failure. You failed to accomplish an objective and people know about it. God forgives, but people don't. People will always remind you. People will always come to you and say, well, I remember you could have done that, but you didn't. God is the one who shows mercy, and he is the one that gives hope. In the midst of all of this, you may wonder, was there hope? Or did God simply take a vacation? Has God taken a vacation in your life? Friends, I want you to think about this time. This time in the Old Testament, when the Greeks conquered the world, the Greek language extended across the Mediterranean area, which allowed the gospel of Jesus Christ to penetrate. That was the common language. Most everybody spoke Greek. When the Romans conquered, one of the things that they did is they built roads and transportation networks, which allowed the gospel of Jesus Christ to penetrate. God was working silently, and they didn't even know. God is working on our behalf, and sometimes it's silently. In verse 35, the angel of the Lord told Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Mary then went to visit Mary, the mother of Jesus, Zach and Liz in a town in faraway Judea. Verse 41 to 42, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was active, so active during this time. Verse 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. I don't know if you remember the story, but Zechariah, the angel told him that they were going to have a baby, and what happened? Zechariah said, no way. And the angel shut him up. He went into the temple to do his two-week duty. He couldn't speak. And when the baby was born, he came out. They asked, what's his name going to be? He couldn't speak. Elizabeth said, John. We want to name him John. Did the people believe her? No, because she was a woman. Women didn't have good standing in those days. It's pretty bad. If I had been a woman, I wouldn't want to have lived during that time. It was a really, really bad time, actually. So they went to him, and they said, what should his name be? And they wrote it down, John. And then when he came out, after the baby had been born from the temple. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, he says, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. This was a special time. In the silence, people were waiting, hoping for God to intervene, and they did. If you really think about it, why would not God have sent a great poet, or a great scholar, or a great king, or a great warrior to say, the king of the world is coming? You know who he chose? He chose an old priest and an old woman, done with. And he used them to herald the coming of Christ, the coming of John the Baptist. How many old people do we have here today? If you're old, you think God's done with you? No, God is not done with you. You know, we want to celebrate and put young people in positions of authority. But that doesn't mean that you need to not serve and not be a vessel for Jesus Christ to reach others. Friends, the Spirit gives us authority to proclaim the gospel, old or young. Don't give up reaching out to your peers. Today, if you have someone on your contact list that you haven't contacted in a long time, contact them. You know, I recently sent an email to my estranged brother this week. I'm sure here, you know, with Chinese families, do you always have loving, kindly relationships among your families? I don't know. But if you have someone in your family you haven't contacted, contact them. Call an estranged brother and sister, someone in the school that you went to school with many years ago, a person that you spent time with. Connect with them. Men are the worst at this. We always cut relationships. Women, I can't understand why. You know, we did something recently. We had a dinner. We had our family over. And I took a nice picture, and I put it on Facebook. And I had a lot of my friends say, oh, nice picture of you, looking good, good food. But my wife tagged it and forwarded it to her friends. And my son's daughter, my son's wife's family tagged it. And I looked at, wow, women have more friends than guys. More friends than guys. Guys, you cannot cut sling. That means like you cannot get rid of your friends. You have to strive to keep those contacts and relationships. The Spirit brings awe and praise to our lips. Verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mother his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. Do you see how expressive he was? After he experienced God, there was an expression. Sometimes we Christians don't do anything. Did you listen to the little child this morning during the song who said, yay? Even the child praises God more than we praise God. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray. And the kind of prayer I'm going to pray is participatory. I'm going to pray, come Holy Spirit, in many parts of our life. And I want you to participate. If you feel touched by a prayer that I say, raise your hand, move a finger, stand up, say yay, say amen. But I want us to respond a little bit this morning as I pray for the Spirit of God to touch our world and our community. Join with me in prayer. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in our hearts. Help us to love and to serve better. Hear our prayer for America. Come, Holy Spirit, to help America weather the storm of moral failures that seem to occur all around us today. I pray for Washington, D.C. Come, Holy Spirit, into the churches in this city. Renew them, fill them, call them to greater purity and holiness and service and surrender and repentance from apathy, and protect them from embracing evil, but lead them to righteousness and goodness and ministry to the needy. Come, Holy Spirit, and call this city to integrity. Come, Holy Spirit, and convict corrupt political and religious leaders and contractors. Speak to their hearts that they would change their evil ways. Help them to do honest business and not take bribes and do political favors, abusing their authority. Come, Holy Spirit, into the federal government. Bless those who work hard, skillfully, and faithfully, and reduce the influence of those who take advantage of the system and waste the wealth of the nation and hurt people. Come, Holy Spirit, into the White House. Give wisdom to our President, Barack Obama, and help him to make wise decisions for the benefit of the nation. Do not let evil counselors influence him. Come to our Congress and Senate and do the same. Come, Holy Spirit, into the Chinese embassy. Bring the ambassador, Zhang Yesui, to loving faith in Jesus Christ, and bring his staff and workers in the embassy to Jesus Christ too. Come, Holy Spirit, into the life of Li Shun-shin, the leader of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Representative Office. Bring him and his staff and workers to Jesus Christ too. Come, Holy Spirit, to the schools of Washington, D.C. Bless and protect the teachers in the school system. Allow the message of Jesus to be influential in ways that are constructive. Come, Holy Spirit, influence the great universities here. Empower the Christian community on campus. Provide for the needs of the full-time Christian workers that are serving. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to not only be people of faith, but people who do our faith. Travelers who visit us here in this church in Washington, D.C., come, Holy Spirit, guide them and lead them. Come, Holy Spirit, lead the wondrous gift of people visiting this church. Lead them into a relationship with God. Come, Holy Spirit, this new year. Bless our pastors, Charles and Richard and Joanne. Give them wisdom and renew them and strengthen them. Anoint them, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Let our prayer be in this Chinese church daily. Come, Holy Spirit. Come into our lives. Holy Spirit, help us to glorify and magnify Jesus Christ in all we do. Amen.